please interrupt and let us know. Otherwise, if you're not speaking, please mute your microphone. And Stuartville Care Center, you've got the stage.
Thank you, Your Honor. My name's Sam Morbovich. I'm with the law firm Fredrickson and Byron, and we represent the relator, Stuartville Care Center. I'd like to thank the court administration for doing the test run yesterday. That was very helpful. The question presented is whether the Department of Human Services is authorized to enforce Minnesota's Supplemental Nursing Services Act by reducing Stuartville's daily payment rates. The relief that we request is that this court reverse the final order of the commissioner and direct DHS to restore Stuartville's payment rates effective for 2017 and 2018. In a nutshell, through statutory interpretation, DHS auditors added a new enforcement mechanism to a statute that falls under the purview of a different state agency, the Minnesota Department of Health. By taking this backdoor approach, DHS is undermining over 15 years of legislative policy regarding nursing homes' abilities to hire temporary nursing pools to fulfill their essential and necessary staffing needs. Stuartville is a 58-bed rural nursing home only 13 miles south of Rochester, Minnesota, the home of the Mayo Clinic. And the Mayo Clinic obviously is a employer of many nurses and nursing aides. For years, decades, Stuartville has had to rely on temporary nursing pool services to supplement its permanent staff. Now, from 2013 through 2016, the Department of Human Services payment rates assigned to Stuartville were high enough to enable Stuartville to purchase temporary pool services from a vendor named Ann Leo, A-N-N.
Isn't that really where the, I'm not sure if I'm muted or not. Isn't this where the argument lies though as to whether the SNSAs through Ann Leo are in fact a direct cost? I mean, that's essentially what the DHS made in their determination, isn't that right?
That's correct, that's the basis for their determination, Your Honor, but I would submit to you that's a bit of a red herring for a couple of different reasons. First of all, whether Ann Leo was an SNSA or not an SNSA, DHS would have still taken the exact same mathematical disallowance because it was enforcing the maximum charges under the SNSA Act. Secondly, the department is inherently inconsistent. DHS allowed, as direct care costs, a substantial amount of the payments Stuartville made to Ann Leo, as long as they were under the maximum allowable rate set by the Minnesota Department of Health. So how can Ann Leo be a direct care provider for part of its costs, but as soon as it hits that magic number set by the Minnesota Department of Health, all of a sudden it's not a direct care cost? And thirdly, I would say to this point that in 2015 and 2016.
But does that matter? I mean, we're really here looking at the final order of DHS, aren't we, as compared to 2017? The decisions you're relying on as far as what DHS did?
Well, we're looking at the final order, yes. We have the final order under appeal. But the final order is based on the premise that DHS has the authority that if a temporary pool company charges more than the maximum rate, as a matter of statutory interpretation, DHS can consider that not an allowable expense under 256R. That's the crux of that order. And DHS admits in the record that they took these cuts because the amounts charged by Ann Leo exceeded the maximums set by the Department of Health. And under the Supplemental Nursing Services Act, 144A.70, Subdivision 7, the only entity that has oversight over that act is the Minnesota Department of Health. And when the legislature enacted that law in 2001, it did not enact authority for the department to cut nursing home rates if a nursing home is allegedly overcharged by a pool. Rather, the one penalty in that law is that the Minnesota Department of Health is authorized to impose a 200% fine on the overcharge, but that fine runs against the entity that receives or charges the excess cost, which would be the temporary pool, not the nursing home. There's no provision of the SNSA that allows DHS to cut Stuartville's payment rates. And under 256R, the rate setting statute, there is no express provision that allows DHS to reduce Stuartville's rates because Anleo charged more than the MDH approved maximum. The legislature had ample opportunity. If they wanted to give that authority to DHS, they certainly could have. There is a provision in 256R.11 that describes costs that are not allowed. If the legislature wanted maximum payments to temporary pools that were exceeding the maximum charges set by MDH to be not allowed costs, they could have put it right there.
But DHS didn't rely on the legislative SSNA Act. It was relying on its determination that these constituted direct costs versus the public health costs that you're alluding to. And I just don't know how we get around that other than defining what Anleo is in terms of the provider of vendor management services.
Well, I think you get around that because even though the department is dressing up their decision in the sheep's clothing of 256R, they're really applying and enforcing the statute, the Supplemental Nursing Services Act. I mean, they admit in their audit director affidavit by Kim Brenny at paragraph 4, she states DHS disallowed the above costs because they exceeded the maximum amount SNSAs may charge a nursing facility under section 144A74 and therefore failed to meet the allowed cost general principles of 256R. Now, the allowed cost general principles and the defined not allowed costs of 256R do not specify that if a nursing home pays more than the maximum charge set by the Minnesota Department of Health, that that's not allowable.
So is this like an auditing? When you're talking about the audit, like an auditing shortcut, is that what you're saying DHS engaged in?
Exactly. I think that, I've cited three of my previous cases that I argued before either this court or the Minnesota Supreme Court, the St. Otto's Home case, the Benedictine case, and Ebenezer. In each of those cases, after a new rate setting system got put in, DHS tinkered with it. And they tinkered with it in order to try to cut those nursing facilities' rates. And in each of those cases, the courts found that the change made by the department was an invalid, unpromulgated rule in violation of the Administrative Procedure Act. The department here is taking a shortcut. They're bootstrapping itself to enforcement authority over a law that the legislature invested solely in the Minnesota Department of Health. And we might ask, why wouldn't they just go back to the legislature for new authority? Why wouldn't they just do a rulemaking hearing? I think the answer to that is it's highly likely those efforts would fail. Because when the Supplemental Nursing Services Act was passed, it was passed to protect nursing homes from financial gouging by temporary pools or from poaching. And to suggest that instead of going after the temporary pool that is charging more than the amounts allowed, that it would be permissible to simply reduce the payment rates to the nursing home is the analogy I think we used in one of our briefs is it's not unlike if you have somebody that's charging a usurious interest rate by an unscrupulous loan shark or lender, and instead of enforcing the usury limits against the lender, one just takes the money back from the person who received the loan.
Counsel, and maybe I'm asking this question, so maybe you can help clarify this for me. Yes. But at the time that DHS denied the payment because it exceeded the maximum for an SNSA.
Yes.
Both parties, the nursing home and DHS, thought that Ann Leo was an SNSA, correct?
That is correct, and so did the Minnesota Department of Health.
Okay, everybody thought it was, and then as it turns out, the Department of Health decides that it's not an SNSA. And so that doesn't seem to be an issue that's being disputed. I don't even know if the nursing home would have standing to dispute that, but Ann Leo does not seem to have challenged that determination. So it doesn't qualify as an SNSA. It doesn't have to register. So why does Chapter 154 play a role in the case if that issue is disposed of?
For a couple of different reasons. If you look at the St. Otto's case from the Minnesota Supreme Court, Judge Yetka in that decision pointed out that agencies can't simply pull the rug out from a provider by changing the interpretation after the provider spent the money in the cost reporting years. Here you have my client spending substantial sums in 2015 and 2016 at a time when MDH and DHS both admitted that this company was an SNSA. And thus under DHS's own rate setting rule for 2015 and 2016, it was an SNSA and the cost would fall into the direct care category. Then after the fact, and it wasn't a final order by the Minnesota Department of Health, it was by a middle level manager. There was a letter excusing Ann Leo from the maximum charges and from the registration. And as the administrative law judge pointed out, DHS doesn't have any authority to declare whether Ann Leo is or is not an SNSA. And I would submit to you that if you look at the definition of what constitutes an SNSA, it's providing and procuring temporary services.
I did look at that definition, and I did look at that word procuring, and I did question whether or not that, in my mind, whether that determination was correct or not, that Ann Leo is not. But again, all we've got here is the determination that it's not an SNSA, and that determination hasn't been challenged by Ann Leo, apparently. And I don't know how an SNSA operates as unregistered. It would appear that it subjects itself to fines if it doesn't register. But I mean, the bottom line here is we've got a letter indicating that it's not an SNSA. So just for the sake of argument, assuming it's not, and then that's what we're dealing with here, don't we have to look to 256R to determine whether or not these costs are actually direct costs?
Yes, we do, but we have to look at all of 256R, which would include the allowable cost provisions, which are that the cost is ordinary, necessary, related to resident care. And for decades, the services that Ann Leo provided to the residents and to Stuartville certainly fall as necessary services. As the affidavits, the unrebutted affidavits submitted by the administrator Gene Gustafson, by Emily Steichen from Ann Leo, and from Dale Siegfried from the accounting firm Clifton Larson Allen established, Stuartville could not have survived if it hadn't relied on the ordinary and necessary costs of hiring a temporary pool company. And what's so unfair about this is that essentially Stuartville is getting hit twice. Once, they are being charged more, presumably, than the Minnesota Department of Health should have allowed in 2015 and 2016, when MDH was considering it a SNSA. And now, in addition to having to pay expensive prices that were beyond the maximum, DHS is taking money back by reducing their rates. So it's a double whammy to them. And there's
okay, may I ask you this? When you say that, I think what you're suggesting is that Stuartville used the services of Ann Leo for decades?
Yes.
And was paid. And so for decades, that would mean that they used the services of Ann Leo before the effective date of the registration requirements for an SNSA. Is that right?
Before and after. Oh, okay. Wait, no, I'm sorry about that. I am sorry about that. No, that's not correct. They started working with Ann Leo in 2012.
Okay.
2013. The Supplemental Nursing Services Act was enacted in 2001.
All right. So for all those years, both Stuartville and Ann Leo thought that Ann Leo was an SNSA?
Or was providing direct care costs. But the previous rate setting system used a different definition. They didn't use the term supplemental nursing service agency. Under what was known as Rule 50 in 9549.35, the compensation provision, there was an unusual phrase where if a nursing home paid to an organization to provide non-paid workers, that was an allowable cost. That's exactly sort of a temporary pool company. The term SNSA did not come about until the act, which was designed to protect nursing homes.
Mr. Orbovich, I need to remind you, your time has expired, but I do want you to fully answer Judge Shellhas's question, just a reminder on the time component.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor. Judge Shellhas, I think I've given you at least my understanding of the answer to the question. Thank you.
I think you have too. Thank you. All right, we'll then turn to the Department of Human Services. You must be muted yet. We can't hear you.
Pardon me, I'm so sorry. Is that better?
Now we can hear you. All right, thank you.
Thank you, and may it please the court. Michael Leonard on behalf of the Department of Human Services. This case involves the disallowance of brokerage fees paid by Stuartville to Ann Leo, which is a software vendor management organization. Now, Ann Leo basically sits as an intermediary between providers on the one hand and then multiple independent nursing services agencies on the other hand. If a provider needs to fill a shift, it can communicate that need to Ann Leo or through Ann Leo's software product. And then Ann Leo will communicate the request to individual nursing services agencies, and the agencies in turn will then supply a worker to fill the shift. If a single SNSA is like a middleman between providers and individual nurses, then Ann Leo is essentially a second middleman between providers on the one hand and multiple independent SNSAs on the other hand. Ann Leo makes its money by charging a fee for its service on top of what the SNSAs charge for the workers that they provide. Stuartville argues that those brokerage fees are allowable as payments to a supplemental nursing services agency. But it's undisputed that Ann Leo is not an SNSA. The Department of Health made that determination in 2017. And the record does not include any evidence that Ann Leo has ever disputed it. Ann Leo has never registered as an SNSA. There's no evidence that it ever held itself out as an SNSA. But likely, it would prefer not to be classified as an SNSA because then it would be subject to those statutory maximum charges and would have to register with the state.
Counsel, when you say that Ann Leo has never registered as an SNSA, that didn't seem to be problematic in terms of reimbursement
for apparently decades. Why is that a problem now? I mean, why do you even raise that issue?
I'm glad you asked that, Your Honor, because I think that gets at an issue that's an important distinction. The agreement between Stuartville and Ann Leo very specifically identifies the $55 per shift fee as a payment to Ann Leo, the vendor management organization, or VMO. But the agreement states that Stuartville, or the client, will be responsible for the supplier's fee, or the fee to the individual SNSAs. Now, under that agreement, by default, the fee is set at the maximum allowable charge. But the agreement also states that Stuartville and the suppliers can agree to a different lower amount if they, you know, reach that agreement. So that is really a payment to the suppliers, even under the agreement between Stuartville and Ann Leo. It's true that the money is paid to Stuartville, but under the agreement, it simply flows through to the individual SNSAs. If Ann Leo were keeping a portion of the supplier's charges and not passing those through, I agree that might be grounds for even greater disallowances than what we have in this case, but I don't think Stuartville's arguing that, and I don't think there's any evidence for that on this record. Stuartville's own expert, Greg Tabell, also agrees that Ann Leo...
I'm sorry, I was on mute. I started to ask a question. What I was trying to say is I think Stuartville is saying is that DHS changed position. You initially considered Ann Leo to be an unregistered SNSA, and then you determined it wasn't, and they're saying that inconsistency was unauthorized rulemaking and arbitrary and capricious. And that's based on the procedural posture of this. So how do you get around that? Can you just disregard it at this point in the scheme of things?
Thank you, Your Honor. I guess I'd like to respond in two ways. First, I'm not sure if it's clear from Stuartville's argument what the unpromulgated rulemaking is. It seems that Stuartville is arguing that it's the purported enforcement of the SNSA Act, where DHS had not done that previously, that is claimed to be the unpromulgated rulemaking. And then second, under the Benedictine case and the Sleepy Eye Care Center case, the agency can advance new rationale or even take new allowances at the contested case stage. There's no public policy or legal principle that prevents them from doing so, because it's that decision following the contested case hearing that constitutes the final decision of the commissioner. And I'm aware of no support for the proposition that DHS is somehow limited to the rationale that were set forth either at the desk audit or in the initial rate notice. The Benedictine Health case, although unpublished, deals pretty squarely with that and is based on the decision in the Sleepy Eye case. And that is the basis for the commissioner's final order that Ann Leo is not and never was an SNSA. And for that reason, the payments to it cannot be payments to an SNSA.
Okay, but then why aren't they considered, I'm having problems with your argument. Did the commissioner actually decide that Ann Leo is not an SNSA?
As Stuartville argues, that decision is made by the Minnesota Department of Health. The Department of Human Services follows what the Department of Health decided, but did not make an independent determination whether or not Ann Leo is an SNSA. However, the definition in Chapter 256R, there's no reason to believe it's a different definition than the definition in Chapter 144A, as the ALJ's decision notes, or recommendation, rather. And Stuartville's principal brief doesn't even argue that this conclusion was incorrect. In fact, it hardly even acknowledges it, and I can't really understand how the argument is not waived. But even if it were not, it's the argument would plainly be incorrect. Stewartville argued below that the commissioner is barred from considering rationale other than what's set forth in the initial rate notices, and the ALJ expressly rejected that argument based, again, on the Benedictine case and the Sleepy Eye Care Center case.
Do you agree, counsel, that this is a pretty harsh result for Stewartville? I mean, after decades of the payments being reimbursed?
I think, Your Honor, that it was a risk that Stewartville took by choosing to enter into a multi-year contract with an organization that was not registered as an SNSA, was not claiming to be an SNSA, and for Stewart to decide to characterize those payments as payments to an SNSA. I believe counsel indicated that they had that arrangement since 2012, it looks like those charges may have been considered as part of their rate determination for the first couple of years, but once it was clear that, once the Department of Health understood a little bit more about Amleo's actual business and how they operated, they made the determination that they were actually not an SNSA at all, rather than simply an unlicensed or unregistered SNSA.
Well, it seems like that must have come as some sort of surprise to your client. So I guess I would ask the question again. If your client and Stewartville all thought that Amleo was an SNSA and reimbursement was made on that basis, I would ask the question again. Isn't this quite a harsh result to all of a sudden deny the reimbursements?
Your Honor, I guess I think that as a case of due diligence, Stewartville did not confirm that Amleo was registered as an SA and chose to characterize those payments in that way. It is unfortunate that they were counted toward the rate initially, but again, I think that they took that risk. They're a large organization with competent counsel. I think they could have perhaps structured the contract differently so that if there had perhaps been a determination that the costs would not count toward their rate, something like that could have been added to the contract. But the fact is that they made the agreement that they made, and that had, certain legal consequences.
Okay, well, what troubles me about what you're saying is that the department certainly is in a position to tell nursing homes that unless the SNSA is registered, there will be no reimbursement. But it seems as though that's never been a problem for your client.
To my knowledge, Your Honor, that has not happened in the past. I don't believe that is the policy. But it's certainly a risk, I think, in doing business. And
it's prohibited under 256R10. I mean, this is more of the gouging, if anything, is because there was manipulation by these vendors that have come into the picture, and they've obviously looked at, I'm a rural resident, they've looked at rural facilities, and we have crises going on now, and they at one time were considered to be direct costs, but no more under the statutory provisions. Is that fair to say?
I'm sorry, I'm not...
Is there a question put towards the relator? Are they required to use Amleo? I mean, probably not, but then what do they do?
Stewartville's own expert testified that this was not a very good deal for Stewartville. They could work with the individual SNSAs. They chose to go through Amleo, I think, because they found the service valuable, but I don't believe there's any reason they could not have worked with the individual SNSAs individually. It seems that they may have decided that they'd rather contract with Amleo and try to get that compensated or considered as a direct care cost rather than having an employee do that and have it be an administrative cost that doesn't count toward their rate. I would also just like to note that You know, and Leo has, on this record, never claimed to be an SNSA. So, you know, to the extent that Stuartville made a decision that they could call the payments to Ann Leo payments to an SNSA, again, that's a risk they took. It's not, no one told them to do that. It did work for, you know, 1 or 2 years, but I don't think it kind of come as an unfair surprise when no one ever, when Ann Leo never claimed that they were an SNSA or characterized their service as a service from an SNSA. And Your Honors, even if the commissioner were somehow prohibited from considering new rationale, the agency's action was also correct for the reasons cited in those initial rate notices. You know, under Section 144A.74, an SNSA can't charge more than the maximum rate, subject to the cost principles of Section 256R.10, Subdivision 1. Those principles include that the rate is ordinary, that it's what a prudent person would pay on the open market, which Stuartville's own expert seems to say that they shouldn't have, and that it not be for activities not commonly accepted in the nursing care field. I really can't think of a better example of an activity not commonly accepted than payment of a rate that's actually prohibited by law. It's undisputed that Ann Leo's brokerage fee exceeded the maximum statutory SNSA rate, and DHS's recognition of that fact does not mean that it's attempting to somehow enforce the SNSA Act. Indeed, a contract to pay an illegal rate is likely unenforceable as against public policy. And by counsel's argument, DHS couldn't even disallow a line item, for example, for payment of a kickback or payment of a bribe, because DHS does not have enforcement authority over the anti-kickback and anti-bribery statutes. I think that's an absurd result, and but I can't see how that result is not dictated by the argument that Stuartville's making here. I can't see any way to distinguish the two. Because DHS's action is entirely consistent with the statutory language and does not amount, and therefore does not amount to unpromulgated rulemaking, and because Ann Leo is not and never was an SNSA, the department respectfully requests that the commissioner's decision be affirmed.
Thank you, Mr. Leonard. We'll turn back to you, Mr. Urbovich. You have the last word.
Thank you, Your Honor. And I'm not sure where my clock is, so please let me know when I...
She's just setting it right now.
Okay.
There we go.
It's not something that I see, but that's all right. A few points. Council cites the Benedictine Court of Appeals argument. The Benedictine case was reversed by the Minnesota Supreme Court, not on that issue, but the simple fact is the issue about whether 256B.50 subdivision 1C allows the department to switch horses in midstream is not really before this court. I didn't appeal it, and they didn't cross appeal. The unpromulgated rule here, it is clear what the department has done is taken the maximum amount statute at 144A.74 and has applied as and has adopted an invalid rule that declares if those costs are in excess of that, they are unreasonable per se under the 256R rate setting system. That's the unpromulgated rule. It's the statutory interpretation of the words in the rate setting system that adopts 144A.74. Now, council indicated that that you know we have to assume that this is an SNSA. The proper way for the Department of Human Services to have proceeded in this case is that years ago, when these rate-setting issues first hit their desk, they should have referred it to the Minnesota Department of Health with a request that the Minnesota Department of Health make a final order on whether or not in 2015 and 2016, the years that we're dealing with here, Ann Leo was or was not an SNSA. The department didn't do that. They are grabbing authority that the legislature gave to a different state agency. Moreover, The legislature knows how to do this. The legislature had at least three different opportunities to provide that if a nursing home paid more than the maximums, the MDH maximums, then those would have to be pulled out of the rate setting system. They could have done it, number one, when they first passed the SNSA Act in the year 2001. They could have done it when they enacted 256R and 256R11's provision of what isn't an allowable cost. And then most recently, in 2017, the legislature revisited the SNSA Act and gave the department the authority in one special session 2017, Chapter 6, Article 3, Section 28, gave the DHS the authority to carve out of the payments to the SNSA hotel expenses and travel expenses paid by the nursing home, and those got shunted over to the administrative cost category. Right then and there, they could have said, look, if you pay more than the maximum allowable rates, those get shunted over into administrative. Those are disallowed. Did they do that? No. And the reason they didn't do it, I believe, is that the Supplemental Nursing Services Act, the purpose of the act, is to protect nursing homes from price gouging and poaching their staff by temporary pool companies. And that is the purpose of the act. It is not to give DHS an opportunity to reduce payment rates. And Your Honor, I think that with that, I'll close unless anybody has any questions.
It appears not. Thank you to both attorneys. The matters were well and well argued today. A decision will be issued in the statutory timeframe. We appreciate your willingness to postpone these matters back from March. Time flown. Here we are already in May, but at least we're doing this via WebEx. So I want to thank you for your participation today. Counsel, you may go ahead and leave the meeting. Judges will take a recess and then we will initiate discussion.
Thank you. Thank you,
Your Honor. Thank you.